Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my gun,
and I don't mean no money like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun. Loves my gun.
Recorded 13th March, 2012. This is episode 9, Fool Me Once. Okay, kids, so we know that the end of the world is coming the 21st December 2012. What that means is, starting in about September, October, you need to start robbing liquor stores, tearing the place up, steal a car, all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, the court's going to be jammed up, and if you do get caught, you won't go to prison because the world's going to end. Right? No. No, it means exactly not that. This episode is basically about trusting your sources, or distrusting your sources, or at least fact-checking your sources, and that includes this show. Anything I say that sounds funky to you, look up. I could be wrong. Anybody can. People are fallible. If you're in school and something your instructor says just doesn't sound right, look it up. There's a possibility he got bad information, or his source wasn't right, or he's trying to make you think. He might actually tell you something incorrect. I've had this happen in a college course. An instructor was Jim McCann, good fellow, weird fellow, teaching, I believe it was psychology 3-something. I can't remember what the exact class I was in was. But McCann had noted that the students would write down anything he said. And so he'd say even more and more absurd things as he went along, knowing full well that they'd write it down and keep it in their notes. And then he'd usually take at least one of those strange bits he had thrown in and put that on the test just to see if they got it right or wrong. It was basically done it was never on a final. It was never a major test. It wasn't the midterm or anything like that. It was always a minor test. We had weekly exams. And it was done to make people realize they needed to fact check their sources. And at first it was fairly subtle, slightly ill-worded things. Eventually it became really radically out there stuff. Because he realized that the subtle things weren't easy to catch. If you didn't know any better, they sounded legitimate. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we depend heavily on media that quite often sounds completely legitimate until you start looking into it. There's always something going around the internet. I got forwarded this by my brother-in-law's sister's roommate's college high school dropout's friend who got it from his cat. So it's obviously a good source. And forwarded on to everybody else because, you know, we have to stop whatever this is, you know. And quite often, when you look at it, you realize this doesn't sound right. We could get into critical thinking. I mean, that's a huge, huge, huge topic. I could do another year of shows on critical thinking alone. Not what we're about. What we're about here is getting you the ability to survive through minor emergencies and just generally live a better, more comfortable, happier life. And so whenever you read something that just doesn't sound legit when you're researching something, look for another source. And if all the sources keep coming back to this source, it's questionable. On the internet, you'll get a lot of things that just sound hokey. The quick and dirty way to start out is go to Snopes.com, S-N-O-P-E-S.com. But be aware, even they do make mistakes. They do check their facts. They do give you references so you can go back to the original sources and determine whether or not they were right or wrong. But always check your facts. For an example, if you go to www.snopes.com/lost/mobile.asp, you'll find the claim that mobile homes are so named because they can be moved from place to place. It tells us that status is false, that basically everything was named for where it came from, in this case, Mobile, Alabama. So they're mobile homes, not mobile homes. It goes on to tell us that a fellow down in that area started a company called Sweeter Homes, or Sweet Homes, near Mobile, Alabama, and went on to have a pretty good life building and selling these things and evolving into a whole culture. In the trivia section, we find out the 1974 hit from Leonard Skinner, Sweet Home Alabama, was actually a rework of a 1951 radio jingle advertising Sweeter Homes, Alabama. Bet you didn't know that. And the reason you didn't know that is because it's not true. Click on the additional information button about that page. If you click on that, you'll find a page called False Authority. Claim: common sense dictates that you should never fully rely upon someone else to do fact-checking for you. But who has time for common sense these days? And it tells you that if you're reading this page, chances are you've done so because one or all the entries in the repository of Lost Legends troll section of the site struck you as a tad suspect, if not downright wrong. Some of the other things included in that were that Mr. Ed was actually a zebra, and through the miracle of black and white television, it got canceled out. That George Bernard Shaw penned a poorly attended play called Closed for Remodeling, and people seeing Closed for Remodeling on the marquee of theaters didn't go. It tells that the passengers of the Titanic were viewing a 1912 silent version of the Poseidon Adventure when the ship sank. And the California flag is actually the result of the word pear, the fruit, being taken for bear, and mispainted. Essentially what this is a fairly good little write-up on warning you about your sources and fact-checking your sources. And that goes for everything in this show, too. If I say something stupid, hey, feel free to call me on it. Because there's a good chance I will. Quite a bit of what I do here is from personal experience, and I don't know any better. Sometimes I'll do stupid stuff that really ain't the right way to do things. You know, if your crazy three-finger Uncle Ernie says the way to look for a gas leak was with a lighter, would you? Oh, you'll find it all right. You will find it. And you'll discover why Ernie only has three fingers, too. Because fishing with dynamite, yeah, it works great up to a point. So at any rate, I have to go back to the title. I had to throw this one in here because I'm a jerk. I aimed this at airing for April Fool's Day or over the April Fool's weekend. Fool Me Once, there's an old, well, I can't remember exactly how he said it. George W. Bush made a statement. There's an old Southern saying, fool me once, won't get fooled again. You know, probably not the best source, and he was comedy gold because quite often he'd get confused mid-sentence and go off into tangents and just didn't seem overly presidential much of the time, did he now? But the concept of fool me once, shame on me, fool me eight or more times, shame on you, certainly seems to be how the media operates in a lot of ways. And you're bound to see a lot of things running around the internet and on the media that just don't look quite right. Around the time this was recorded, the Kony 2012 campaign is all over everything. You just about can't get online without running into somebody. Oh, this is so horrible and so tragic. But if you do a little bit of research, you discover that he's basically been gone since 2006 and may be dead. It's hard to say. Nobody seems to be able to verify this. Yes, that area is very screwed up. It is probably one of the most politically and socioeconomically complex places on the face of the planet. Central Africa is a mess. and all the people that are forwarding their statuses and putting it on Facebook and this and that and the other thing and sending emails back and forth don't understand how incredibly complex this is and don't understand that throwing in American troops on the ground there is just going to lead to an even more complex mess and morass than we have ever seen in our history. And so it's a case of something that is causing a knee-jerk reaction could be fooling people into an action, an activity that will in the long run hurt them a great deal. Now, how does that apply to this series? Well, when you start looking at things like, let's go back to earlier episodes. Let's go back to Snow Crash and the assumption that at some point, if you live in the North, you're going to slide off the road. Some people will go out and buy a car kit. And on the average, they're not a bad purchase. Quite often, you get a pretty decent selection of equipment for a decent sum of money. But you might be able to build what's in that car kit for a quarter of that price. There's a possibility you have everything already. There's a possibility you already have it somewhere in your car. You just don't have it all consolidated into a single location so you can easily get to it. With the addition of a couple of dollar plastic tub from some store around you or one you may already have, or possibly a nice big heavy cardboard box or something, you could probably build your own car kit for very little money, if any money whatsoever. The same goes for beat the heat, dealing with hot environments. Having the right equipment in your car really prevents a lot of problems. Having the right things in your house, having some dry goods, some pasta, some canned goods, some water, that sort of thing. But you start going through and looking online, and you come across something that either sounds too good to be true or just doesn't sound quite right. Well, you can get this water filter system for only $4,000. And then you realize, that doesn't seem quite right. You start doing a little bit of research and discover, no, this is a scam. A lot of these scams are basically fooling people with partial truths and scare tactics. There's a lot of scare tactics out there. Everybody wants to make you afraid, because if you're afraid, you'll watch 11 o'clock news and their numbers will go up. Or if you're afraid, you'll buy their product and they'll get rich. If you're afraid, you'll do this. If you're afraid, you'll do that. Being afraid doesn't really help. Being educated, for one, gets rid of fear. Fear being the mind killer, fear being the hindrance, fear is the weight around your ankles dragging you down into the waters. And knowledge is the life preserver that keeps you above the waves. Knowledge is the ability to cast off those shackles. And as you stop being afraid, granted, quite often you start being pissed off because... Ooh, sorry, didn't mean to swear. I'm trying not to swear in this series if possible. That way you can share it with your mom or your grandma. And, you know, I realize, yeah, grandma can cuss like a sailor when she wants to, but she doesn't want to hear it every day. But when you start to realize that you're being manipulated, they're using your fears against you for their own gains, you become angry. That's completely normal, completely understandable. Not necessarily helpful for you, but that is a completely normal response. So as you start doing research and discover that you're being scammed, you're being manipulated into fear, into purchasing things you don't necessarily need, that may not necessarily work for you, I have to bring up a fellow some years ago invented a parachute for people that work in high-rises. And, okay, assuming you can get the window broken out and you are in a high-rise and a fire breaks out or some other horrible situation happens, they might work, but if you're only 10 stories up, the chute's not going to open. And he sold an awful lot of these to people that worked in 5, 6, 7-story buildings, who are basically going to throw a chair through the window. If the window does actually break, some will not. If the window does actually break, they're going to dive out the window, pull the cord, and hit the ground with the chute trailing out, and it will land on top of them and cover the gooey spot they left on the pavement. But he made a huge amount of money on selling these chutes to people for a while because of fear, because they had been fooled into believing it was something that was helpful for them. Perhaps in their situation, a nice big coil of rope would have done just as well. you know, 10 stories up is only about 120 feet. A really good-sized coil of rope and something to attach it to in your office will get you to the ground. Oh, sure, it won't be easy, but it gets you there. If you're 100 stories up, maybe, maybe. But then again, you could get caught by a gust of wind and slammed inside of a building or something. You might want to look for some other alternate routes. That's just an example. We're not actually going to cover that particular topic or story right here, right now. Down the road, we might. Looking at our schedule, I initially started this and figured, oh, you know, after about 10 shows, after about 4 shows, I'm going to have problems finding something to come up with to talk about. Oh, was I wrong? As you start hanging out with your competent friends, you'll discover they do a lot of things that they are not aware of. If you yourself are someone who's trying to get out of the I don't know anything, I don't know how to take care of myself mentality, good on you. Big high five. Rock on. But on the other side of that, learning is kind of difficult sometimes. Some of this stuff isn't easy to get information on. And quite often when you start looking for information, you get a little uncomfortable about the sources. And that comes back around to this again. Always cross-check those sources. And if you get a piece of information that seems like it works really good, start checking it. Mythbusters has been on the air for roughly 10 years now because of that exact reason. Quite a lot of the things they get sent in look too good to be true, and sure enough, they are. But sometimes it does actually work. What do you know? Any rate, and I'm still saying, I said I was going to stop in episode 1, and I still am at it. C'est la vie. Won't get fooled again. How many times have you bought something because you saw it on TV and thought, hey, that looks really cool. I need something like that. And then got it home and discovered, yeah, this is a scam. Anytime you see something like that on TV that you think you might actually want or need, first of all, step back and realize advertising is there to make you believe you need something. That's what the job is, and they're really good at it. I have to give advertisers credit. They're very good at their jobs. They make us want things we have no idea what they are. We had no idea we needed that. But on the other side of that coin, that's because we probably didn't actually need it. An awful lot of what we consider in the first world, in the modern first world, to be quote-unquote needs are actually wants. Yes, I want that, but I don't need it. Now, would it make things easier? Do I have the money extra? Is that something that I can afford? If the answer to that is yes, hey, maybe it's worth picking up. But first, jump online, jump into a search engine, and see if it actually lives up to the hype. I've seen a lot of things on, I believe it's called Try It Before You Buy It on some local TV stations, where the people host or the public interest host will get a couple of viewers that have sent in emails that they'd like to try out something, and they'll get a couple copies of whatever this particular device product are, and they'll try it out in real-world applications. Now, mind you, it's usually a one-day trial, and sometimes they don't know what they're doing, and sometimes they don't follow the directions all that well, so it may be a somewhat biased kind of thing there. But, you know, watch those. Jump on a search engine. DuckDuckGo, IxQuick, Google if you want to. Type in, does this thing, whatever that particular product, really work? Hit enter. See what comes up. And keep that filter in your mind as you're going through things. Because sometimes you'll run into sites that just talk up a product, how great it is. And you start to think, wait, this sounds a little too good. And you realize that's because it's an AstroTurf product. It's fake grass. It's fake grassroots. It's actually put there by one of the marketing companies that particular product is being promoted by. You'll see fake comments in the comment section on the Try It Before You Buy It sites on the local news stations. Oh, it's a great product. We love it. And then you start to read it and think, it doesn't quite add up. Doesn't sound right. So try not to get drawn into it. You know, sometimes the marketing hype on things is a whole lot cooler than the actual product. I remember a whole lot of cases as a kid where I saw something on TV. That is the coolest toy. I will be the coolest kid. That is the coolest freaking... Oh, this thing sucks when you actually get it. You know, when I was a kid, one of the best toys there was Legos, because you could make them into anything. And they don't have to have a whole lot of stuff on TV about Legos, do they? If you know they exist, you know you want them, because they are every toy there is. They're just cool. And yeah, I try to stay away from brand names and things like that. There's some other knockoff versions out there. But anything like that, any building toy like that, is just a great way to go. Research those. You know, sometimes you'll discover that, yeah, this particular version isn't as good as the other ones. You don't want to get fooled by just like on the box. This is going to be an interesting one to find music for, isn't it? We're coming up toward the music break. It's about 10 minutes off. And I have no clue where we're going to go with this one yet. So, I took a break to dig around and find some music, which turned into a longer break than expected, actually several days. And in the interim, while I was wandering around looking for music and dealing with idiocy and so on and so forth, I managed to get a head cold. So the second half of this one's going to be a little interesting, because now I've got, you know, the giant swelled up head and, you know, the sinus thing going on and all that. So that's going to be a good time. So I probably sound different than I did before. So, yeah, that's why. Got a couple pieces of music. An old piece from 89, my buddy Rob from back in high school. I don't have a link to get to his stuff. I don't think he's actually got anything up right now. We're going to have him do the Necromancer cover from Rush, strictly instrumental. And I got some other stuff we'll throw in too, and I'll give you links to that after the music stuff. At any rate, since I managed to get myself sick in the interim, let's talk about that for a little while. There's a whole lot of marketing tomfoolery that goes on with cold medications and things like that. When you go to the store, you know, a lot of people have to have this specific brand. I have to have, you know, Sionex or, you know, whatever it was they grew up with, because it's what they're used to. Save yourself a little money. Look at what the active ingredients by proportion are. Then look at the generic equivalents. Quite often you'll find out the generics are the exact same thing. In some cases, the generics are half the price or less, or the house brand, you know, the this store's house brand, or Good Family, or Our Home, or whatever, you know, weird name it's got. But the really interesting thing is, I found out through a couple friends of mine that work... I've got a couple friends who work in constructing large freezer units and electricians and things like that. And they go in and rebuild and repair and upgrade a lot of these production facilities locally. And I found out that a couple of places are actually manufacturing, and this is very typical across the board, this is not just pharmaceuticals, they're manufacturing a given product. Halfway through the run, they'll stop and switch labels. So, you know, the juice you're buying might be, you know, a name brand for now, but after lunch we're going to run the home brand, and it's the exact same stuff. The cold medication that you're buying very likely is the exact same stuff in a different box. You know, it comes back around to that getting fooled by marketing thing again. Quite often you'll run into... a lot of name brand hyping. Sometimes you're really paying for that name brand. You're paying for the recognition of it. You're paying for things like the marketing campaigns. You're paying for the art on the box. You know, if they've got a really schmancy box, you're paying for that. Even though what you're really buying is the contents, you're also paying for everything else in the packaging involved. So, you know, definitely consider looking at generic brands or house brands for medications and so on and so forth. And I'm going to go see if I got something like that in there to do some decongesting, because I am good and stuffed up now. And in the meantime, we're going to listen to a couple of folks I know, both in real life and online, And hopefully you enjoy these tracks. The Necromancer, or Necromancer, depending on your enunciation of that particular term. And by Rob Spangler, done in 1989 in a tiny little bedroom studio. Can't remember all the specifics. We used to get together. We get together a couple times a month and just record stuff. You know, a lot of other people go out drinking. We get together and record. So I wasn't actually playing on this one, but I was over at the house when he was finishing this up and got a copy of it pretty early on, and so I dig it. So here's a piece from my past. Hopefully you enjoy it too. Thank you. And that's MC O Big Ben. You can find him on SoundCloud, MC O Big Ben. That was Rise, which is... We talked about this one. He actually kind of did it as a Frankenstein-style piece. And then the group of us were sitting listening to it as he was finishing it out and giving us examples and previews and such. And we kind of realized it had almost a Herbert West Reanimator vibe going on, too. So the Necromancer and Rise back-to-back seemed like kind of a good thing. Staying in the same theme, at least, if nothing else. Now, how does that really apply to being conned, being fooled, being jacked by things? It doesn't exactly, but you could probably make up some sort of existential mumbo-jumbo, jiggery-pokery tomfoolery and make it seem like it did. If I wasn't, thick-headed with all this fun with sinuses, I'm sure, I could probably come up with something. But, you're going to have to put your own joke in here, aren't you? Let's see. I don't know. We're gonna jump the running order. This is going to run on Rant on the April 1st weekend or around that weekend. This actually is episode 9. It's quite a bit later in the game. And so when you find this, you're coming back through the archives and you stumble across it or somebody sends it to you or something like that, that won't make any sense to you at that point. But for those of you listening on a Rant, this is out of sequence. None of these are really that critical. I'm trying really hard not to. I'm not going to say I'm never going to, but I try really hard not to reference back a huge amount to earlier episodes in case people have missed them. If you have missed them, they're available on archive.org. That's archive.org. Just search for Rangers, R4NGER5A2Z, and there's some there. You can also go to the Rangers Mirror, which is at rangers.com, R4NGER5.com, and on the right-hand side of that page, there's some links. I can't remember exactly how that's laid out right now. I don't have it open in front of me. But Rangers A to Z is in there somewhere, along with a lot of other media we produce. Back of Beyond, Rangers Bravo, actual Rangers Radio, normal stuff. Rangers Oz, Harlequin does that out of Australia. Rangers America from Xenovalent. Also, Avogdu does, I think there's 3 seasons now of Storm the Wire. There's a whole lot of other stuff. If you don't mind something that's really politically incorrect and not even just a little bit work safe, you can't sit on a radio, which is basically, get on Skype when you haven't got anywhere near enough sleep and swear a whole lot, and make bad jokes, and just be as politically incorrect as you possibly can. 3 continents of political incorrectness all in one spot. So anyway, I've yammered on about that quite enough. So back to what we're after, which is basically just, not getting fooled comes down to a couple things. Being cognizant of... hang on. Okay, now that I have managed to hack up a phlegm ball. Ooh, love having a cold. Seems like the medication's starting to kick in because now all the slime is starting to drain out of my skull, so this is going to be a good time. Not being fooled is being cognizant that, for one, advertising, for example, is trying to sell you something that you may not necessarily need. An awful lot of what we think of as needs are actually wants. No one needs a brand spanking new car. They need a vehicle to get where they're going, to get their kids to school, to band practice, to soccer practice, to get groceries home, to get to work. But they don't need this year's model. It's nice to have one. There's a lot less problems with them. They're certainly very spiffy and kind of cool looking and all that kind of stuff. But do you need a brand new car? No. It's a want. A lot of things are wants. When you're going shopping, step back and look at, okay, you need food. You obviously have to eat. There's no way around that. But do you need the name brand? Do you need do you absolutely need this? In some cases, yes, you do. People with food allergies have to be very careful. People with specific diets have to be very careful. People that are diabetic have to be very careful. Those people need to watch things for their own well-being. But if you don't specifically need a name brand, maybe try the house brand and see. A lot of A to Z is really about saving you money. Being prepared for the possibility of a small disaster in life quite often saves you a great deal of money. We've had a lot of storms. Every spring we always get tornadoes in the Midwest of America and things like that. And they're incredibly tragic. But unfortunately, there's another tragic event that happens during these every time that people forget about. And that's people getting screwed. When everything comes down and the power goes out for 4 or 5 days, people run to the store and they're just screwed because there's a high demand and a low supply, and therefore everything costs a great deal more. Had they put up some stuff and thought through ahead of time a little bit, do I need this? Don't get fooled by the marketing thing. You know, if they tell you that this is the be-all and end-all, you know, way to survive in a hurricane and so on and so forth, really look at that claim. Really look at what they're saying. Do some research online. Check with other people. Some years back, a friend of mine bought a bunch of civilian MREs, meals ready to eat, and he had them with the idea that he lived up in a house out in the woods that quite often the trees would drop on lines when there were ice storms. When that happened, he got out the MREs and discovered that they didn't include a whole lot of stuff that he thought they did. Things like a method to heat them, like a military MRE has a little heater unit that comes with it, a little chemical heater system. They didn't have any way to heat them, and they really taste awful. I don't remember the specific brand, but they were really wretched. And so he was in you know, fair misery for a few days, and then after everything was said and done, he got back out of the, you know, got back out of the cabin back in the woods and stocked up on a whole lot of stuff like, I think he actually bought a whole lot of cans of generic house brand ravioli. And I was giving him crap about it. I says, you know, what happened to those, you know, those camping meals? Oh, dude, they're awful. You know, and of course, you know, this comes back around to something I've said in a previous episode. When you have canned goods, don't get fooled into thinking that your can opener is going to survive. Buy an extra one. Because this is actually where this comes from. Mike put up the stock of canned goods. And about, probably 3-4 years later, there was a big ice storm and he got snowed back in there, and he was in there for about 5 days. And, he comes down to see me one day and says, man, you need to make me one of those old style can openers. All right, no problem. I can do that. Why? What's up? Oh, dude, like day two, the can opener broke and I ended up having to use an axe to chop top off the cans to get food out of them. Wow, okay, that kind of sucks. Oh, yeah, it sucked bad. I says, Mike, don't you have one of those little folding can openers, little folding military can openers on your keychain? He just stood there and stared at me. You bastard. So, and that happens around the shop a lot. There's a lot of times where I'll be doing something, and one of the guys will walk in that helped me out, and why don't you do it this way? Just shut up. So, big shout-out to you, Bjorn, because you do that to me all the time, man. So, sometimes get somebody else's input. That's where we're going there, is if something looks too good to be true, if it sounds like somebody's trying to fool you into buying something, get somebody else's input who's either used the product or has some knowledge about the product. Ask around, check on the internet. We live in an age where you can get information on just about anything, everything, reviews, and take reviews with a grain of salt, because some reviews are salted. There are some companies that actually hire guys to sit and post reviews about their product online. Oh, this stuff's great. This is the best stuff ever. And then you find out, oh, yeah, that all those really good reviews were actually fakes put up there by that company to get you to buy their product and to get you to use their product and make more money for them. There was an XKCD. XKCD is an interesting online comic. XKCD.org. And if you hold your mouse over each of the comics, quite often there's a second joke that pops up after a second or two in the alt text. And sometimes those jokes are even better. But there was a recent one that looked at the pricing for political ads. And political ads are all about fooling people into voting for whoever they're for or voting against whoever they're against. And it's speculated that it was cheaper to hire a couple of college students at $20 an hour to camp on sites and post about your candidate every time a new story comes up than it was to buy ad space. And they're right. It's a way to fool people. With the election cycle coming up, and any election cycle, not just this one, but any election cycle, from your local dog catcher on up, to some extent, they're kind of going through and giving you a very rose-colored view on what's going on. Don't get fooled here. Do some research. Look at this person's voting record. Most of that's public information. The stuff that isn't is really highly suspect. If they voted on something and the information is locked, that's highly suspect. It's very rare, as far as I understand it. I don't remember running across any cases of it myself, but I was doing some investigation in a mayoral race when I lived in another town, and doing some investigation found out that one of the candidates for mayor had been indicted for fraud many times. This doesn't really seem like the kind of person I want to have as the mayor. It doesn't now. None of that came up. It was a small town, so of course there wasn't really a whole lot in the paper other than the ads they were taking out. But a lot of people got fooled. When I brought it up, oh, that couldn't have happened. Wait. Yeah, that did happen. And so he had kind of pulled the wool over people's eyes. And of course, you know, we didn't get along terribly well after that because it's a small town of 150 people. And when you bring that up, that doesn't go over real well. So, let's see. I suppose the last topic to get onto before we head off, since we've only got about 15 minutes left, is used cars and that. We've kind of touched on having new cars. With used cars, really, really, you know, don't get fooled. There's a reason that there's a lot of jokes about used cars. You know, my brand new used car died. If you don't get that reference, take some time to watch the film Escanaba into Moonlight. It's a very strange film. I will tell you going in, it's a very strange film. It's not like any other film. There are a lot of really great one-liners in it. There's a lot of really funny stuff. It's a really kind of bizarre story. Takes place in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Are we really like that? No, but some of us are. There's some folks in Michigan that certainly do fit right into that mold. So, yeah. But absolutely worth a watch. But in that film, the Jimmer buys a brand new used car, and the brand new used car catches fire and dies out on the road. Now, in the film, it makes a lot more sense. When you see it, you'll understand. Or you won't, and you'll wonder why I told you to watch this film. Either way, you know, Recomedia for the week is Escanaba into Moonlight. Any rate, when you go to buy a used car, take a buddy who's got some knowledge about cars. And things like Carfax, things like Blue Book Online and that kind of stuff are absolutely there for use. You know, it's a good resource. Put it to use. Just because a car's been in an accident doesn't necessarily mean that there's an issue with it. Some body shops can do some really astonishing rebuild work. Other cases, sometimes a car will be in a rather minor accident and it will never be right again. I've owned both. I've had a car in the past that had been completely totaled, and it was all skin damage. The car itself was in great shape, but the metal had been torn up on it, and they decided it was just cheaper to scrap it out. And a guy bought it. He happened to have another car of the same make that had a dead drivetrain, and just combined the two cars into one, and it was just fine. I can't recall exactly. The drivetrain and suspension was dead on the one. So instead of just doing a body transplant, transplanting the motor over, he took the skin off one and put it on the other. And the car looked fine, and it drove great. And I think it's up to, I've still got it. It's up to 275,000 miles or so and still going. On the other hand, I had a car that was in a 15-mile-an-hour rear-end collision. The owner had gotten hit from behind. And that car was an absolute piece of crap, mostly from that accident. It had caused electrical issues. It had caused a lot of internal problems in the car that just didn't want to play ball. So, yeah, not good. So definitely check out, when you're dealing with used cars and stuff, check them out. Take a gearhead buddy Have him crawl around up underneath there. Wear grubby clothes when you go to look at used cars. You want to get up underneath of it and crawl around in it. Look at the exhaust. Look at the suspension. Look at the tire wear patterns. A car that's wearing on the inside or outside edge of the tire has some sort of alignment issue. This might be why they're getting rid of it. They might not realize they can fix that. And on the other hand, it could have bad tire rods, bad ball joints, something like that, which is a much more expensive fix. If you can get the car on the cheap and repair it, okay, great, no problem. But if you're buying it and need it tomorrow, this could be a massive issue. And there are so many mechanical problems with cars that could be covered. There's many, many shows just in cars alone, and that's not really what we cover here, so we'll skip that. And, you know, that applies to anything. If you're buying used appliances or a used house, you know, brand new used house, that kind of stuff, take somebody who's got some knowledge with you. Take somebody who's got some experience with you, too. You know, somebody who's actually been through this experience before and, you know, grab your parents, grab whoever. Even if you've done it before, just because sometimes a second set of eyes can't hurt. You know, there might be something you were really fixated on a certain thing and didn't even notice that the building had fallen off the foundation. You know, it happens. Never hurts to have a second set of eyes around. So, there we go. Let's see. We got something in the 5 to 6 minute range for me to keep yammering here before we get to the last music track. For our last music track, we're going to do another piece from MCO Big Ben. That's MCO Big Ben on SoundCloud. That's going to be LCD, E-L-C-I-D-I. Another kind of laid-back, kind of easy-going track, electronic drum and bass kind of thing. So, yeah, just fun stuff. Doesn't really tie into the rest of the theme of the show, but it's a fun track, so I hope you like it. Until we get to there, let's see. I've been Iron Angel, your host. This is Episode 9. Won't get fooled again, won't fool me once, depends on what you want to call it, I don't care. Feel free to share this. This is a free-to-share podcast. Give it a chance, give it the finger, you know, steal lines from Newsreel X, which is what I just did there. If you haven't listened to Newsreel X, that's a fun show too. Giving a shout-out to that. Newsreel X is available also on archive.org, I believe, and a few other places, so... definitely, you know, fun media, really interesting stuff. Pretty straight-up guy, does a lot of really, you know, really fun little humor in there, like the Newsreel X drinking game and so on and so forth. Not really work safe. Got some swearing words in there on occasion and things like that, so we try and keep this one clean. Hopefully I don't screw up too often. I know it does occasionally happen. I'm a blacksmith. I hit stuff. I yell at it a lot. And that said, oh, geez, man, there's still like 5 minutes to go. I know I should say something here. I don't know what I should say. You know, I started doing these. It's kind of funny. I started doing these a while ago, and I thought, oh, man, there's only going to be like 4 or 5 episodes, and I'll have to come up with something else to do. And almost immediately, I started realizing, holy crap. There's a lot of stuff I know how to do, and there's a lot of stuff other people out there don't know how to do. You're in the exact same boat. Doesn't matter who you are, you know something somebody else doesn't know. Take that information out, share it with them, show people how to do something. You can't teach anybody anything, okay? This is purely semantics. You can't teach anybody. They have to willingly take that in and learn it themselves. I can't teach you anything here. What I can do is show you something, give you ideas, give you concepts, and you can take it in and go, okay, I can use this. Or you go, this guy's a moron, let's fast forward to something better. We'll skip ahead to the music bit, because sometimes the music bit doesn't suck, hopefully. And that's another thing, you know, when you're teaching someone, be completely straight up. Don't screw with them. In martial arts, there used to be, and still is, a tendency, if you get a real prick in there, sometimes some of the old masters will intentionally teach someone wrong so other people that see them go, oh, I understand. Someone who knows what's really going on realizes this person was taught wrong because he's a jerk. Little minor things. And it's intentional. You know, so don't do that. Don't play that game. even if you don't really care for the person that much, teach them right from the start. Don't fool them. Don't, you know, you could do it with humor. You can do it with a light personality, a light take on things. No problem at all. But don't openly fool them. Don't teach someone that, you know, that the best way to survive underwater is to put a plastic bag over your head and then jump in. You know, that kind of stuff. That's just not cool. You know what? April Fools. All right. Here's what we need to do. Since you now know that the world isn't going to end on the end of the Mayan calendar, it just flips over, it's time to start playing some games with people. April Fool's Day. I used to do a couple of different jobs, and we had people that always just insisted on screwing with you. And they really liked to do bad jokes. And so one day I just finally snapped. I'm like, that's it, man. I've had it. And I kept warning him, you know what, I don't actually own a sense of humor. I rent one for weekends, and I'm at work, so I don't have it right now. And so after about 2 months of telling him, look, man, I'm not into these stupid little games and stuff, I went over the edge. This is an absolutely horrible thing to do. Let me tell you that up front. I'm not suggesting you do it. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm really kind of saying you shouldn't do it, but you know what? It was incredibly funny when I did it. Went out to his truck with a squeegee and Dawn dish soap. Sprayed some Dawn dish soap on the windshield, squeegeed it out nice and level, let it dry so that it was nice and even, and then hawked a big, stinking, ugly loogie right in the middle of his windshield like a bird crap. He comes on and break and looks at it and goes, oh, geez, man. Turns on the wipers, hits the spray bottle, and, you know, hits the spray button, and it sprays up on there, and the truck just starts to foam like a rabid dog. You know, and considering it's really not a good idea because somebody going on the road, it's going to be a little streaky. The foam goes off to the sides. It's not a good idea. You probably shouldn't do this. You know, he had to go out there and wash it all off and stuff. And he comes back. And there was a few other things we did. We stuck Vaseline under his door handle. And because we were really jerks and he was really getting on people's nerves, we jacked his truck up and put it up on blocks so that when he got in it and tried to drive away after washing all the soap off it, it didn't go anywhere. So, it was kind of a little over the top, but it was needed. So after everything's all said and done, he comes in and he's just storming. I'm going to get that jerk over and paint. How do you know it was him? What do you mean? You guys have been having a feud for a while, but you've been screwing with everybody here. Yeah. How do you know it wasn't me? Well, you don't have a sense of humor. You don't know that for sure, do you? And so he always wondered after that. And he stopped screwing with everybody else, you know. And finally, I admitted to him it was me, and I said, look, dude, you keep straightening up and flying right, I'm going to come visit your house. I know where you live, you have an external air conditioner, I will put, you know, dried milk powder in there so you'll have something really horrible. So, you know, a horrible smell you won't be able to find. And ever since then, we got along pretty good. So, all right, here's MCO Big Ben.
We'll be right back. once more with one drum, one bass. Then I do the 1,000 guitars and a much more beautiful face.
Much more beautiful.